Welcome to the ASU Sports Business Podcast.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the ASU Sports Business Podcast. I'm your host, Gabriel Jala, the founder here at Africa Sports Unified. And today we have a wonderful episode. We'll be looking at, of course, sports business, but in particular, we'll be discussing the interplay between sport, media, event management, and sponsorship with the esteemed Abimbola Ilo, who is the chairman now and founder of Integral Sports and Entertainment, who are based out of Lagos or headquartered in Lagos, but have a global footprint. The episode was great, really insightful conversation that we had about the sports industry and touched on the various aspects as well. At the time of recording, AFCON was still going on. So it was really good to just manage to get some time into his busy schedule to have a conversation. So before the podcast begins, once again, if you're not subscribed, please do subscribe. It really helps us go a long way. So please do that. We're across Spotify and Apple. Also subscribe to our newsletter if you haven't done so already. And lastly, although AFCON is over, there is still time if you want to download our report, which again we do touch on in this episode. Hi, Abimbola, how are you doing?
Very well, not bad at all. Morning.
Good morning indeed. Thank you so much for your time. I know you have a very busy schedule, but we really appreciate you joining us for this podcast today. And I'm personally really looking forward to it. As you can imagine, having a focus on the Pan-African sports industry, Integral have been a common name that I've heard, even as we've spoken about during SoccerX days, etc., into now, especially in the, I guess, in the young market that's often misunderstood and difficult to navigate. It's clear to see those organizations that have stood the test of time, so to say. So it's always a pleasure to have you here, and thank you so much for joining us once again.
It's a pleasure to be here.
No, I appreciate it. So let's get straight into it. Obviously, AFCON is going on, and as we've spoken about already, it's been a fantastic tournament. But let's just go back a bit, just to talk about Integral itself, its inception, and just what it's about. So maybe can you just explain to me in terms of what inspired you to start Integral and how your vision has shaped journey of the company so far. You mentioned that, you know, your role has recently changed, so can you just explain all about that?
Yeah, and thanks, and you know, again, as I said, a real pleasure to be here. Integral was always something that I had kind of wanted to do for years. I've always been, right from youth, right, hugely passionate about sport, about football. Had the privilege to play at pretty high level growing up. And my background, just to give some context, of course, is, I practiced as a corporate solicitor for years and then kind of done a career pivot and done a master's, specialist sports management master's, wanting to enter into sports business ecosystem and work, which was in Switzerland. And I then returned to Nigeria and thought about what to do next. And when I looked, of course, at the marketplace, there really was a dearth of specialist, service delivery within the sports space, especially from a sports marketing perspective. Mm-hmm. Most of the kind of companies and agencies working within there were either doing pure what I call sports media, so broadcasting in the good old days, sports journalists, mm-hmm. Or you had advertising agencies that at best had maybe one desk that, kind of every now and again when a World Cup would come past or so, would kind of, have clients that would do, again, what I call sports advertising. But there was no real kind of specialist agency in those days. And so we thought about this, and I, you know, conceived this what has become an animal, but this concept at that time, to firstly look through all the value chain in sports. So whether that was with media rights, which of course we have extensive experience in media rights, both in terms of consulting and acquiring rights in our own right. In sponsorships, which again was, there was a dearth of knowledge. So sitting most especially in the early days with the actual investments, so marketing budgets and advising clients on how to invest in sports and how to extract, you know, a return of on their investments as well, which is of course vital. Looking, of course, after athletes, so the actual, you know, practitioners of the sport, so footballers, track and field athletes, and again helping them, in particular, extract value from their off pitch potential and earnings, and it's then kind of developed and grown. Of course, we particularly known for corporate hospitality, and ensuring that, you know, whether it's corporates, fan groups, different entities are able to experience actual live sport experience properly, you know, a whole wraparound experience. So yeah, that was really the driving force from, you know, from me visioning and saying, well, there was clearly a gap, because it essentially a dearth of understanding and yeah. expertise. The market has been extremely, extremely kind, let's put it that way, to us. We've grown in leaps and bounds, of course, over the last year. So yeah.
And that's wonderful. I definitely want to touch on the corporate hospitality part of it, because obviously at the time of recording, AFCON was still going on, it's still going on at the moment. So we want to delve into that. But you mentioned in terms of, you know, the market has been kind to you. I guess at its inception of Integral, how was it in terms of you? You mentioned what you do and how you differentiate yourself in the market when you started from Nigeria. How was that? How was it received at first? Was it like, this is much needed, or did it take a bit of time for people to really understand what you were offering and things like that?
Yeah, it took quite a bit of time. Because as I said, there were kind of entities and companies doing it. So there was an education piece, right?
Yeah, as always.
Basically to say, well, yes, we've been doing it this way, but actually perhaps there's a better way to do it. And I can't kind of take all the credit by any means. I think we've come into the scene at a very opportune moment in time, in the history of an evolution of sports marketing and management in that kind of industry space, where the real catalyst and accelerant, of course, was also the battle, as it were, you know, between at that time SuperSport and Hi TV, and there was a lot of back and forth with, you know, Premier League rights and then the Champions League. And as I said, I was opportune to then work right in the center of that, advising on kind of the media rights acquisition strategy, and most importantly, then helping to commercialize, you know, that piece in terms of broadcast sponsorships and ensuring that, you know, media rights licensees were able to extract value. And then we kind of noticed and got a sense check to realize that actually when brands then committed to quite large sponsorship budgets for these properties, Premier League, Champions League, they really didn't understand what they were buying, and we then kind of deconstructed that. And one of the pieces that led to our extensive corporate hospitality practice was then obviously one of the ways of really bringing to life those sponsorships is then experiencing, you know, the live event product as well. So yeah,
I think that's a wonderful segue into the next part, next question I want to ask. So you mentioned corporate hospitality, and even with AFCON, your whole team, even from the outside looking in, have been very diligent and hardworking to provide these experiential experiences for people to attend, not just AFCON, but you do all major sports events with your FIFA World Cups as well. So that might not necessarily be, forgive me here if this may be wrong, but people might not necessarily understand what goes into creating that. They might just see people attending and it's great, but I just want to maybe get a bit more insight in terms of just maybe walking us through in terms of preparation that you go through in order to get from A to the final end, which is people attending these events.
Yeah, I mean, it's our bread and butter anchor piece within Integral. Yeah. Again, it's very personal because I've always loved being in the stadium. Family joke that it's not work, but actually it is. it very much is. It's for us, it's meticulous attention to detail. If I take the AFCON currently going on at the moment in Côte d'Ivoire, we've been on this project for about 24 months. Mm. So immediately once we've come out of Cameroon, we've then got our attention firmly on Côte d'Ivoire. And what we do is we have an advanced team, of course, so it's very, very detailed. So prior to the tournament, we had been to all the five host cities, of course. We've, checked out every single kind of hotel property, the stadiums, and understanding of the hospitality spaces. Ground transportation, all the logistics, because we create a whole program for our corporate clients, of course, that's end to end. So and then we then continuously go. So of course for AFCON again, we were there last fall for the draw, because obviously we're working with CAF and COCAM, the organizing committee, so we're invited for that again to give us more understanding of the local nuances, and it's very, very much about for us the detail of it, and the scale this time has been quite encouraging for Africa. Of course, I think that this AFCON in particular has been, with due respect to the previous host, light years ahead. Especially from a corporate hospitality, from various segments, but in this focused conversation about the corporate hospitality space, a very, very clean product, really high standards of delivery, and the fan experience, as you've probably seen, has been out of this world. So yeah,
no, that's great to hear. Because really, obviously, from hearing people that have been on ground and how it's been. People haven't been sure of saying how great as a spectacle it has been. Obviously, it's very it helps when the host nation are still involved in the Côte d'Ivoire, what they've been through. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that it's been going well. But in terms of a point that I want to ask you as well, actually, in terms of the sponsorship, and I always say to myself, I'm going to stick to the script, but I did have a glaring question that I wanted to ask in terms of, so you mentioned before, maybe sponsors, well, correct if I'm wrong, maybe helping them to realize what they can actually achieve through their sponsorships of certain assets or competitions on the ground. And sponsorship is a huge thing. It's a huge aspect. It really makes the market go around. Money goes through the market, etc., and trickles down the whole ecosystem. From your perspective, could you just maybe explain the old perceptions towards sponsorships and maybe some how it's maybe shifted and changed? I know, as you mentioned, you're involved in sponsorship in terms of maybe things, even esports on ground in Nigeria as well that you do, and other assets within African sporting ecosystem. So can you just help us to explain some of those activations? Because obviously with CAF and the African Cup of Nations, there's loads of sponsors involved, but we really want to understand how they, it's not just for sake of, not that this is the case, but not just the sake of just putting your brand there and fantastic, but actual activations that you can see really benefit and see a return of investment for the sponsor and the competition alike.
Yeah, in the good old days, and that's a great question. In the good old days, it was, you know, a handshake, checks exchanging hands, and at best a couple of logos and a mention maybe at the, you know, the kickoff of an event. It's really been a sea change and a complete evolution. And when we advise, especially sponsors, just for their understanding, is the sponsorship is in purchasing the property. And of course the activation, which is as important, perhaps many times more important, is then the finishing and the furnishing, right? And that's been the real education piece, as I've kept on saying, where, you know, X amount has been spent, usually because sponsorships, of course, there's no rate card. So it's very, very difficult to kind of benchmark. So usually the sponsorship fees are traditionally quite high. So that was another education piece for the marketplace. And then it's then really drilling down on the assets within the inventory of the property and seeing how you can sweat all of those assets. And again, that's been hand-holding with our sponsor clients and our property clients to also ensure that they're doing what, you know, not just what's, you know, contractually obliged, but also going beyond to ensure that it's actually delivering a return on investment. Just back to AFCON quickly, and I know there's been quite a bit on this, but it's really to doff our hats and really commend CAF on such a wonderful sponsorship job, especially for this AFCON. More than double the sponsors, of wide-ranging new categories, very, very clean, very, very excellent sponsorship lines and divisions. And you're seeing, you know, long-term deals, which is also actually, you know, a real belief in the marketplace. And if we think that, you know, we're in a space not too long ago, it's just the truth that not too long ago we were talking about, you know, COVID and football being really, really difficult and brands not coming in. And it's only a couple of years. And they've really taken that to a completely new level. And you can see it. You can see the value. I mean, we've been to all the stadiums. You can see the sponsor activations. You can see the activations going on in town, viewing. You know, brands, if I'm allowed to kind of highlight those brands, for instance, like Rexona, are doing a fantastic job. Also engaging very, very well with the use of the, you know, the ticketing and hospitality inventory. Razzle, as an example, which is a new entrant into the marketplace, you know, from all indications, extremely happy with that sponsorship, and we've, you know, been doing a few activations for them as well. So it's really a very, very interesting space. But, you know, to the point is, it's in matching the property and all the assets contained therein, and ensuring that all those assets are then being really well sweated and activated. And I think what, and just a final comment, I think especially with an AFCON, and what's been great is to see the integration, which of course, for instance, the Champions League has done for years, huge success, is integration of, you know, the inventory of the marketing, so the sponsorship assets with media. So that, you know, on the feed, you've got, for instance, Total, 1xBet, etc., embedded into that, which is fantastic value for the sponsors as well.
No, I'm so glad you mentioned it, because I've said it enough times, but we produced a report before AFCON, just an overview of everything, commercial partners, media partners, etc. And a key highlight was in terms of the partnerships, the different array of them. But as you mentioned, I wrote a few key takeaways. But with any sponsorship deal, one of the things that I look at is obviously the valuation, but that's not, you can't always find that for obvious reasons. And also the duration of agreements, because that signals to the market that there's trust and is actually a long-term plan. Okay, let's give this relationship 3 years per se, and let's actually work it out. And I think it's heading in the right direction as well, compared to maybe having like quick fire sponsorship deals that are worth 1 year. I'm not sure how much value can be gained.
Yeah, no, one of the best, sorry to just interject, one of the best descriptions I've heard about sponsorships, it's essentially like a flight taking off and cruising. Well, you don't turn cruising off, do you?
Yeah.
You know, and that essentially is the longevity of the sponsorship agreement and the activations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a different marketing discipline and understanding that, of course, they're short-term or shorter-term sponsorships, but by definition, the nature of sponsorship is long-term in nature.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Glad you said that.
Hi, guys. Thanks for tuning to our latest podcast. Help us spread the word by subscribing, liking, and sharing our content across all social platforms at ASU Unified, and use the hashtag ASUPod to join the conversation. Please do give us a rating on your podcast platform of choice. And if you have any topics you'd like us to discuss, people who you'd like to see join us on the podcast, or simply to stay in touch, send us an email to info@asunified.com.
So another question I want to ask you, mainly about the corporate hospitality again, but it seems that there's quite a few cogs needed in order to have a viable end product in terms of what you're providing in terms of corporate hospitality. So how is it actually engaging with maybe the rights holders, your cash, your FIFAs, sponsors involved, the people that are actually contacting you for some packages? I mean, from my head, that sounds like a big job in itself, having many people involved, etc., to make it work. So how is that exactly?
Well, it depends on the event, and there's of course specificities. The classic example, perhaps obviously the best, is with due respect to CAF, it's FIFA, right? The way that the FIFA World Cup product is the hierarchy is designed. It's very, very clean. Maybe there will be some changes going forward to 26, which is very much part of the work that we're doing. But you know, there's a global rights holder, and we then do essentially a rights deal, territory locked. In previous cycles, this has been the territory of Nigeria. So there's exclusive sales rights, which gives us a bundle of marketing rights and various other assets. It's quite well policed, because obviously there's, you know, several rights issues, because you've got sponsors that also have access on this. So that I think is, and yeah, it's a bit, if you're not too used to it, then it takes some learning. But it's a very clean product. It's well understood by the market. We're eagerly waiting and anticipating what's going to happen in 2026 and see how what decisions are made and how that's taken by FIFA. If I look at for instance, an AFCON and this particular time, and it hasn't been every AFCON that there's actually even been a hospitality product, right, so to speak. Again, commending both CAF for a lot of innovation and COCAN, the organizing committee, for insisting and delivering a hospitality product of absolute fantastic standard. And you know, this AFCON has been called the AFCON de Hospitalité. So it's a, you know, it's the AFCON of hospitality. And of course, the hosts are very well known and have a historic, element of a lot of hospitality. And it's been really, 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 really lovely. And they've kept it's been kept simple and therefore very, 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 very easy to understand. There's six stadiums, there's three hospitality layers and products. It comes with various inclusions or not, so it's easy to understand, and the quality of that experience has been, you know, as I said, out of this world. What I must also mention and commend is for the, especially the organizing committee, has been a lot of thought on the integrated logistics required, the specificities of the stadiums, the access. So for instance, a lot of thought has been given to that, and the inclusions, for instance, of ensuring there's shuttle transportation to get, you know, groups, clients in and out of the stadium. Really, really lovely and really, really well thought through.
No, I'm glad to hear that. Really glad to hear that. Yeah, that's great. And so now I want to ask you about, or speak about rather, I think the sports industry in Nigeria, but Africa as a whole. Obviously, you're headquartered in Nigeria, but you have a global footprint and continue to expand, as we mentioned before. But yeah, I guess I just want to ask at first, what are some of the challenges that face the sports industry in Nigeria and Africa as a whole, that you think, okay, these are some of the current challenges, but if maybe one or two of these things can be unlocked, then we can see a further surge or growth in the market.
Mm. How much time do we have? from a Nigerian perspective, and headquartered in Nigeria, working in football, thankfully it's changing, mm-hmm. but recently. But of course, our major specific challenge is a lack of a football league. We've only just and only just really properly getting to the point where our NPFL, the Nigeria Professional Football League, is now coming to the fore. So most recently, this media rights deal has been done with Star Times, which is a great deal, three-year cycle with an option for another two. So that's on TV. And from an ecosystem business point of view, then we can now start having conversations and seeing how all of that can grow and all of that can be activated. For instance, in the corporate hospitality space, just saying, one of the major differences and a huge challenge for us, for instance, is that whilst we do all this great work, we have to wait until, for instance, an AFCON or a FIFA World Cup, whereas, for instance, the same size company and business, as an example, in England, would just be happily working every weekend once the Premier League matches are on. So there's a huge dearth because the league product, the local league product, isn't at that level yet. And that's a very specific Nigerian contextual problem and challenge. As I said, it's changing, and we're very thankful and grateful that it is, but that's been one major area because there hasn't really been the platform and the ability to have the conversation about corporate hospitality, because corporate hospitality, as an example, is just, you know, an add-on, whereas the main product has been not so great. And so that's a very specific thing. In the most recent times, of course, and it's a greater economic problem, but of course our local currency, the Naira, is going through major challenges, and that becomes exceptionally difficult when primarily we're dealing with local currency budgets for clients, and however we're dealing with international products, Champions League finals, Premier Leagues, FIFA World Cup, even an AFCON is centrally denominated in USD. So that makes it a little bit more difficult. Of course, it means we've got to be a little bit more creative, but it doesn't stop us from still delivering value. It just, as I said, means that we have to be a little bit more creative. And I think the last specific thing from our point of view, a Nigerian, dare I say African point of view, is we need to have better infrastructure. For the sport practice, just at the basic level. If I look, for instance, at, and this is not necessarily an unkind or criticism, it's just an observation to say, for instance, if I look at, as an example, Lagos, we should have many more five-a-side pitches, many more grass, public spaces, pitches, not just for football, but just for sports practice. If you look at the size of the city, it's just not enough. You know, it's just not enough. And I'm not necessarily saying that, hey, I've got the solutions, but I'm just highlighting that that's one of the areas. Because, of course, if we have more of those areas and spaces, then I think even with what we're achieving, we could then achieve so much, you know, so much more, basically. And it's you know, it's a very tested science, isn't it, to have at the bottom as many, you know, on the bottom of the pyramid practicing sport, where you then have that kind of coming into the apex of elite sport. Yeah. We just don't have the sufficient facilities. I know specifically, and again, Lagos State Government in particular doing a stellar job, but more can still, I think, I think can be done. But yeah, that's it. But it's I mean, without belaboring the point, it is. It's getting better, you know, the just back to that, you know, to the point with the MPFL, it's now on TV all the time.
Yeah.
We're on a break at the moment because of the AFCON, blah, blah, blah. But it's fabulous. It's like, wow, you know, this is a big deal. Four o'clock, kickoff, done. You know, there are no strange kind of results of, you know, home teams never losing. No, that's all out. So, and I think that only portends for, of course, much more, because once that stability is there, then sponsorships, fan experience, hospitality, etc., then, you know, kind of kicks off. And I do hear, because I think this has been announced also, and we have kind of been having some conversations about this. Our FA Cup, our local FA Cup, is also going to be revamped and also going to be on TV. So this is, again, all, you know, positive. Yeah.
That's really great. So there's a few things that you're interested in, like infrastructure, obviously having MPFL on TV regularly, start times. So, because the other question I was going to ask is, if you're looking at potentially a growth sector or potential areas for growth, where do you see that significant potential for growth and development in the sports industry? Obviously Nigeria, but Africa as a whole as well.
You know, yeah, I mean, for us, the major area, which is why we've made those investments and really working on that, is in esports, of course.
Yeah.
That's just exploding. Because if you look at, you know, it's just the share numbers, if you look at the amount of young people, you know, we've got in our demographics, the fact that coupled with that dearth and lack of infrastructure is that many, many, many more young people nowadays are not out in the playgrounds and playing sport. And what they are doing is they're on consoles. This is just the truth. And we're seeing this, and this is why, of course, we've done this deal with EA Sports on the FIFA 24. There's going to be a few things that, well, we'll be coming to you to talk about in a bit, but we can't really talk so much about a few things that we're going to be doing this year yet. Mm-hmm. But that we see very much as a new line, and that will take, I think, more and more, certainly more marketing budgets. We're going to probably see, I believe, more and more Nigerian and African players that are going to, you know, excel in this area, specifically with the FC title of this year's 24. And that's for us as a business and a company, something that's new but fresh and growing. So certainly we see that as a big deal.
Exciting times ahead. Really looking forward to that. Esports is definitely booming, and will continue to do so. So I guess to finish off, I'm just going to ask you a few quick fire questions just to get your thoughts on a few things. So the first one I will start off with is one word to describe the future of sports in Nigeria.
Technology.
Nice. What's the most underrated sport in Nigeria that you think deserves more attention?
Combat sports.
If you could change one aspect of the sports industry overnight, what would it be?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. One aspect. Maybe we would do a decentralization of federations.
Interesting. Very interesting.
That's another podcast.
Your top advice for someone looking to break into the sports industry?
Get as much experience as possible. Even if it's volunteering, read as widely as possible. There's so many free texts and articles, and I think that those two are absolutely vital. It's just, for instance, as an example, there's a volunteering program on at the moment for the Lagos Marathon, the Access Bank Lagos Marathon. That's in a couple of weeks' time. It's literally get your hands dirty, get involved.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it. Really enjoyed the conversation. I always learn so much when I have my guests on. So thank you so much for your time. And really look forward to seeing how further Integra will grow.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Gabriel.
No worries. Thank you for having us, for being on with us again. Take care. Well, what a fantastic podcast. Obviously, without being biased myself. But it was really interesting to hear Abimbola's thoughts and comments on how AFCON has been, or how AFCON was, especially regarding the activations of some of the brands and the sponsors. It was quite encouraging to hear the actual activations on ground with the sponsors, and also just the whole hospitality of the tournament. Very interesting as well to hear his thoughts on the sports landscape in Nigeria and Africa as a whole, and the growth of esports. Everyone knows how esports has grown, and there's no sign that this trend will reduce, but just continue to build momentum, especially considering the demographic of Africa as a continent and how young people nowadays, as Abimbola mentioned, are not necessarily outside playing like yesteryear, but instead they're on their phones, tablets, and consoles. And so to really engage with that young demographic, then esports will definitely continue to grow. But let us know your thoughts in the comments on the podcast, any aspects that you agree or disagree with, or any thoughts that really stood out to you. But once again, thank you so much for listening. As always, the call to actions, please subscribe to our podcast if you haven't done so already. It really helps us. Follow us on the socials, subscribe to our newsletter, and also still time to download our report. So thanks once again for listening, and until the next episode, take care.